It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It's our Friday home inside the TI, free parking. Back with the self-parking, walk right down the escalators, and then the TI is your oyster. Anything you want. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Great menu. Just added the spicy chicken sandwich. Got the mini pork bites. Loco Moco. All of your stadium fare with hamburger. Great burger. Unbelievable hot dog. I love their chicken tenders here. Some of the remote techs are big fans of the chicken salad sandwich. That also includes Big Greg Salerno, who loves that as well. So get on down here if you haven't tried it. Very affordable. It is a Golden Circle here on a Friday. Well, we got a big game going down just down the road at Mick Ultra Arena. And Willie Ramirez is a foremost WNBA expert that I know, and he joins Cofield and Company. He is part of the company to preview the game and talk to some WNBA and some other stuff as well. What's up, Willie?
What's going on? Second time down here today. Was down here earlier today. And you know what's great? When you come down here this early before the game, you get to see the real true blue-collar workers putting stuff together here in the workroom. They're steam cleaning the step and repeat for the Zoom sessions. They're getting the media room set up. They are their true blue hardcore workers that make everything click and go for us. And the reason I'm able to go live from here today. So, yeah.
Yep. Great space down there. That is, as soon as I looked over your shoulder, because I can see you, we're on video. We put out videos after the show. If you want to go check it out, up on YouTube, especially the shorts and TikTok and Facebook and Threads and IG. I recognize that area because I covered so many boxing matches and UFC events in that area. So Willie is in the bowels right now about a couple hours before tip. You've been basically around the Aces in some form or fashion all day long. I'm pretty sure you got the only conversation one-on-one with Kelsey Plum before one of the biggest moments of her career. I don't know how she feels about coming back to take on the Aces, how she feels about the trade, all of that. We're going to get into it, but you talked to her a little while ago, and there's a lot that she is dealing with. She was dealing with a lot here, and here's Willie with part of the conversation, exclusive convo with KP.
How is your mental health?
I'm doing great. I'm grateful to, honestly, it's been a full circle moment to be back, to see a lot of familiar faces here in Vegas. You know, Vegas is my home for a long time, and like forever grateful for kind of like became a woman here pretty much, you know, so it's cool to be back, and you know, regardless of what happens tonight, I'm just gonna have a ton of fun, and but I'm doing great.
Yep, started under Bill Laimbeer, had some ups and downs, was coming off the bench, career was taken to another level by Becky Hammon, and now she may be the biggest star on the Sparks team, which makes her an MVP candidate. We'll get to that. Willie, what was her mood like, and what do you think tonight's going to be like?
I think, here's what's funny is I got here and I walked through the court to get to the press room. And as I was walking, they run through the entire, you know this, right? When you do your sideline for UNLV, they run through the production well before everything. And I got to see the KP tribute video. So that for sure is going to be emotional. I will say this without revealing who, but I spoke to someone very close with KP and the organization. She's unsure of what to think about for tonight. Once the ball goes up and the game is in hand, but it's weighing on her mind. And I think it's more so just because of how much the city meant to her, how much she meant to the city. Not sure what to absorb, what's going to take place. I mean, I can't imagine this is going to be any different than what we saw with any of the Golden Knights that returned. Whenever an original Misfit came back and a tribute video was played, I think it's the same type of thing, considering what she's done for this team. You know, you're talking about an all-star MVP, a gold medalist, a two-time WNBA champion, a sixth player of the year, all while wearing an Aces uniform. And let's not forget, the two cornerstones of this championship, like if we want to call it a dynasty, I don't know now because it's the Liberty knocked them off their perch. I think they'd have to go on a run here, but Steve, the two first members of the championship puzzle were De'Erica Hamby and Kelsey Plum. They came from San Antonio to Las Vegas. I know you said she started off under Bill, but her first coach was Vicky Johnson in San Antonio. And De'Erica was there before her. So they get here. Asia gets drafted the first year of the Aces are in Vegas. Then Jackie Young. And then the team grows around them. Now they're both with the LA Sparks. So there's a lot of emotion for both players. And we know the background with De'Erica and in Vegas. We know that De'Erica has played some of her best games for LA against Vegas. Now you add Kelsey Plum. And, you know, I'll add this, and I don't want, I mean, Mark's excited. I know I was listening to driving in. I was listening to our boy, Grillin' McBill, and I think he's coming tonight. She wasn't released and she wasn't traded. She was an unrestricted free agent, and a lot of my story tonight is going to be why she moved on, what it means for a city, not a team, but an entire city like Los Angeles, to get a superstar like Kelsey Plum and what it meant to her. So, you know, part of it was needing a change and needing a new place to be.
And it's been productive so far, right? She's playing good basketball for the Sparks, who are kind of beat up, don't have Cam Brink back. They've gotten a little more nicked up. They needed her infusion of scoring.
They did. And I actually had a chance to talk with Cam Brink today. It was great catching up with a lot of the Sparks. Ray Burrell, who is a local product, went to Liberty High School. I talked to her for a little bit, actually had some fun with her doing some videos. If you look on Twitter and you look on my Instagram, she's riding around in a cart because she's banged up for about 6 to 8 weeks. Talked to Cam Brink. When this team gets healthy, it's going to be unbelievable. But right now, De'Erica and Kelsey Plum are leading the charge. There's also, of course, Odyssey Sims, and there are key components of this team that are making it go, including Sarah Ashley Barker, who's a rookie, who will reunite with Aaliyah Nye, Ace's rookie. But you're right, Kelsey Plum's offense, she's off to a career start. She scored more points in her first five games than she has previously in six games now, than she had in any other season. I believe going into the last game in which they actually lost, she was second in the league in scoring. So, I mean, she's putting up productive numbers, but it's like she told me on the Zoom after that game, and this video went viral from the Zoom. I don't give a damn about points, Willie. I care about winning. So all that's great, but I'm trying to lead this team to a victory. So I talked to Lynn Roberts today, the coach, first-year coach for the Sparks. She reiterated a lot of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to writing this piece.
Kelsey Plum, averaging, as Willie said, up there in the 20s at 25 points a game. Very impressive 43.4% from three, which puts her in, and the odds already say it, the legit mix for MVP. And on that team, I think she's got a decent shot. I wanted to ask about the crowd reaction tonight, because I think the Aces fans are going to cheer for her early and often, and I kind of wonder when they cut it off to kind of focus on, hey, we want the home team to win.
Right, and I think it's going to be, like I said, I compare this. This is going to be about as close to comparison as you're going to get as a Marc-Andre Fleury, Jonathan Marchessault coming back. It's that big of a deal to the Aces fan base, and I think that she's going to step on the court for warm-ups, and she does one of the most rigorous warm-ups in the entire league. I've talked about this time and time again. And the person that she entrusted the most when she was with Vegas was Natalie Nicasi, who's now the head coach at Golden State. Natalie Nicasi told me at her introductory press conference with Golden State that she actually had to get conditioned when KP first designated her to warm her up. So I think during that warm-up, the fans are going to be reunited with that routine of hers that she brought from the University of Washington, and they're going to give her a roar. And I think that they'll give her a round of applause. Now, the PA announcer has a trend that he does. When they do the starters for the visiting team, he races through the name. So they don't even have time to get up for each player. You know what I mean? So it's like Steve Cofield, Willie Ramirez, Adam Hill, Jonathan Montobo. He does all five names. And they don't even have time to get up and run and do their little handshake or whatever. Then they get to the Aces. So that part they're going to miss out on. But when that tribute video hits, This crowd is going to go absolutely crazy. And I do think Kelsey Plum's probably going to get a lump in her throat. And then she's going to go back to being the Plum dog that she is. And you're right. Second half, if she starts firing, the Aces are in trouble. The Boo Birds might come out.
Willie Ramirez is down at Michelob Arena. It's Cofield here at Trust Ryland. Big game tonight. Aces hosting the Sparks. That means Kelsey Plum is back in town. Okay, overall mood of the Aces right now. We talked a little bit about the very straightforward nature and competitiveness of Asia Wilson, and she was quoted as saying, "We just played like S," in part of this start now, and a lot of it's on defense. You had a conversation with Chelsea Gray. We're going to hear that in a couple of minutes, but there's max motivation to get back on the horse and get going in the right direction, and especially shore up the defense.
There is, and I think that this is, I think this is the right team to play right now. Like, I don't think a New York or a Minnesota is the right team to play. I don't think that the Fever are right team to play, even without with or without Caitlin Clark. I think the right team to play is the L.A. Sparks. Like, out of all 12 teams, other than the Aces, obviously, this is the team. Why? Because of the things we talked about, Derek Ahambe, Kelsey Plum. There's a border rivalry. This was supposed to be the rivalry when the Aces arrived from San Antonio because of the proximity. And it never really established. The Aces took some time to become relevant. Becky gets here, and then they go off and win the championship. And the rivalry's realistically been with the Liberty, even though the first year they beat Connecticut for it. But I think this is the right team in the right spot because L.A. is going to throw everything at them, and they've never backed down no matter how good or bad they've been since the Aces rise to supremacy. Chelsea Gray mentioned today that a lot of the game film that they've watched since getting hammered by Seattle was mental mistakes. And they know that that's not the rule. It's more like, hey, I see what we did. It's black and white. Mistakes at both ends of the court. And I asked her, I hate to use the word easily, but are they fixable? And she said, absolutely. And she brought up hustle stats, Steve. Running hard, not letting them in the paint so easily, coverages being a little more crisp. So little things, little details. And because it's early in the season, they're not panic mode. She had a great line. She looked at me. She goes, I hope I never have to talk to you about panic mode. We never want to be in that.
We should also mention in our final minute here before we take a break that, again, De'Eric Ahambe is a former member of the Aces, didn't go out the way she wanted to, still has a chance to continue with her lawsuit for pregnancy discrimination. So I would imagine every time she comes into town that she's max motivated. That just doesn't go away until that thing's settled. And even when it's settled, I'm sure both sides are looking at that like, let's go. Can't lose this one.
Right. And I've had multiple conversations with De'Erica. Her first visit back, like this is Kelsey's, her first visit back, the PR person at the time, she was like, De'Erica's not doing any one-on-one. She's not doing any media at all tonight. De'Erica sees me on the sidelines when she does her warm-up, comes and gives me a quick hug, and she says, no, I'll talk to you, Willie. So we sit down and do an interview, but when the recorder went off, she had a lot more to say. So yeah. I think she will always be fired up when she plays. And like I said, since she's been in L.A., this has been some of her best games is against Vegas.
This hour is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number in Reno, Northern Nevada. Got it out 775. And remember, we do have the Aces. We are the home of the Aces. We have the radio play-by-play tonight at 7 o'clock. When the game tips off, Sparks in town to take on your Aces.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We are all over the strip, up and down Treasure Island, also down at Mandalay Bay is Willie Ramirez, 2 hours away from tip. Check that, 2:40 away from tip. Aces hosting the Sparks and Kelsey Plum back in town. Willie, I know you got a long conversation with Kelsey Plum. We played a clip of it earlier. Where can people hear the entire conversation over the next couple of days?
Well, I'm not sure how much of the audio I'm going to release. I may do maybe some TikTok or, just to tease it. But the story will be out later today on the Sporting Tribune. Our good friend Arash Barkazi has asked me to come back to do some special projects in June, but because of tonight's game and because it covers Southern Nevada, Southern California, and Hawaii, he asked me to start today, which is 2 days shy of June. So my first piece coming back to the Sporting Tribune will be this Kelsey Plum piece. I'm actually thinking that I may get something out by halftime and then update it with the game story and what she does, or a little bit of game information with what she does post game. I'm not sure how much of the audio I will do, Steve, and I didn't shoot video out of respect, just because there were some restrictions I put on myself to put the request in with Kelsey, because I'm not sure like how much you're familiar, but the WNBA allows each team to make two players exempt after morning shoot around, and it's usually your two biggest stars. And for the Sparks, it's De'Erica Hamby and Kelsey Plum. So I had to explain some things, put some restrictions on what I was going to talk to her about. And once the PR representative talked to Kelsey, he came right back and he goes, she said, absolutely, she'll talk to you. So
let's do it. You also spoke to Chelsea Gray earlier today. And again, we've talked about this transition with this roster and KP out and Jewel Lloyd in, and Chelsea Gray talked about what the Aces ran, early on when they were put together under Becky Hammond, and kind of how the league is starting to run some of that stuff now. So now it's an adjustment time. Fire this.
The league in general has gotten better. You see, Becky's first year, we started running stuff that a lot of people weren't really running. And so now you're seeing more pace and space in some of the similar sets and the way we get our shots. And so it's been an evolution, and it's been pretty cool to see. We kind of started something special. You see that on the men's side with Golden State, how they were able to change how you shoot the basketball and the shots that you take. I would like to think that we had a hand in doing that on our side. So it's just sustaining that level of play. You create and you come in, you make a culture, but it's all about sustaining that.
There probably was a style and coaching advantage edge when they were winning their championships. So what's this process like, Willie, as they try to adjust and, once again become a top three team in the WNBA?
It's a process that, Steve, I have been yelling until I'm deaf and blue in the face since last year, in that at some point you have to recognize the other teams. Not saying that Becky disrespects them or doesn't, but so many times in about 37 minutes we're going to hear from Becky for her pregame, and we'd ask her, what do the Sparks present? Well, this, but I really don't care because it's about what we need to do. It's about this. At some point, you need to start caring what the other teams are doing, because they're catching up. They're getting better. As Chelsea, one of the things Chelsea said also earlier to us when we were talking is, she said, it's been tougher to make adjustments on the fly because those teams have become better in adapting and making changes on the fly because they've improved and learned what the Aces can do. So I think part of it is starting to respect and appreciate how these teams have gotten better. And I'm not saying that they don't recognize that, but you have to start sort of acclimating to other teams, not just here's what we're going to do and we're going to force you to play our game. Because guess what? It's not working. They're forcing you to play their game in some instances, like we just saw in Seattle.
Willie, let's go around the league. Another busy night in the WNBA. Fever, game two without Caitlin Clark. Game one did not go that well. They were favored against the Mystics. They wound up losing. Kelsey Mitchell, in particular, was not very good offensively. She was 4 of 16. What do you think of the matchup now against Connecticut?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, just to touch on that quick, with the Mystics. The Mystics started off 2-0, and they looked very good. And that was when they were shorthanded. They were missing some key personnel. Then they lose three straight, but let's not forget that they came to the West Coast off of two straight wins. They go to Golden State. Golden State beats them on their court. They come to Vegas and have Vegas on the ropes. That was when Vegas needed the last second shot by Jewel Lloyd. So they lost three on the West Coast. Why is it escaping me who they lost to third? I can't remember who. Was it Phoenix? Anyway, I think it was Phoenix. Then they go back. And so they're still a very good team, and they were battle-tested against some good competition. So it didn't surprise me. I don't think that the Fever lose that if they have Caitlin Clark, because it's an added option to score points. And I'm not saying they lost because they didn't have her. I'm more or less saying that if they had her, they had a better chance to win. But Washington is a good basketball team. Connecticut is not. The Connecticut Sun are the worst team in the league. When you lose Alyssa Thomas, DeWanna Bonner, and your coach, Stephanie White, who's now the coach of the Indiana Fever, it's a big, those are three big losses. That in comparison, that would be saying the Aces lose Becky Hammon, Asia Wilson, and Chelsea Gray. That's basically what the Connecticut Sun are facing right now. They're without those three who are now in you have DeWanna Bonner and Stephanie White in Indiana, and you have Alyssa Thomas in Phoenix. Connecticut Sun could end up, by the end of the season, they will be with the worst record. It's very possible.
Interesting notes now on ticket sales, and we'll see what ratings look like with Caitlin Clark out and the Fever. You know, the Fever are going to play the Sky at United Center. That's coming up on June 7th. That looks like another one of those games that would be inside of 2 weeks. So Caitlin Clark not expected back. Ticket prices have plummeted a bit on the secondary market. I'm sure people are going to wait to see if she plays or not, but they're down 71% from $86 to $25. I guess that is, you know, one of the things that is a little bit troubling when teams move to these big arenas, when the Fever and Caitlin Clark are in, if she's not playing, you know, you might not get your 18,000-20,000 in the building.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that it's got to be that way, because it goes to, this is where people are going to get to point their finger and say, see, Caitlin Clark, the only reason why they're watching it. But the bottom line is, I don't care what anybody tells me. You're not going to convince me otherwise. If you took every single person who watches women's basketball at this point, you're not getting a higher percentage that watches one person over the entire league. And the sad thing is, if people are going to stop watching or those ticket prices are plummeting because of her, then you're not a true fan of the WNBA. And I guess that some of that's acceptable. You want to be a fan of her, okay. But the people that are saying, see, it's because of her, you're also the one that are creating that narrative by not supporting the rest of the league, the other 155 players in the league.
But indirectly, they are supporting the other players, because if ratings are big and they get a monster TV deal, that is going to benefit everyone. So it's kind of this constant back and forth on you are the new fans and the sort of the troublemakers good for the league. In the end, they actually are. Chicago got its first win last night, took out Dallas. Paige Bueckers dinged up in the game. Her offensive production has been pretty good, but the Wings just aren't consistent winners right now. So what's going on both sides in terms of trying to win games?
I think the problem is, and I'm going to butcher his name here, Chris Coakland's, I believe it is. I have my good friend Caroline Williamson. Did I pronounce that right? Coakland's? She's cringing her face, so I don't know. But the head coach of the Dallas Wings is very experienced in the league, but he was known as a defensive wizard. His title was defensive coordinator for the stops that he made along the way. Now you have a team, if you look at their defensive their game, they're giving up a ton of points. I actually was going to ask a question, but the problem was the audio was not operating properly, and So the PR person for Dallas, she called on one person and they couldn't hear her. So I'm not sure what the trouble was. But I wanted to ask him, is it troublesome for you as a head coach when you have people like Paige Bueckers and arguably the most dangerous scorer, when someone gets hot? Arike Ogunbowale is one of the toughest, if not the toughest person to guard. When you have offensive weapons like them and you're a defensive-minded coach, That's a very tough battle with yourself as a coach. So which way do you go? And right now their defense isn't getting it done. And I'm wondering if he's concentrating so much on how to blend the chemistry of his offensive weapons, when you have players like Nelissa Smith and Dejanae Carrington and Maddie Segrist, who Maddie Segrist could play at both ends of the court. She's a three-point wizard, the all-time scorer at Villanova. So I think that's the problem. I don't think Chris is a bad coach. I think he's just struggling with, what's the identity of this team? I'm a defensive wizard, but I have offensive studs.
Courtney Vandersloot became the Chicago Sky all-time leading scorer. She passed Allie Quigley. We got about 30 seconds here. Why is that especially noteworthy, Vandersloot moving past Quigley?
They are married. That is her wife. And it was. I tried to get a question in to Courtney last night. And she is such a wonderful person, Steve. One of the best human beings in this league. They recently had a baby, Jana. It's named after Courtney's mother, Jan, who passed away with cancer last year while she was with the Liberty. So it was a really special moment to have Allie Quigley in the stand. She needed 9 points to do it. She got there. So a really special moment to be back with Chicago. She returned back there after winning the championship with the Liberty. So happy for Courtney.
Jackson's Bar and Grill is helping us out with these Friday shows and throughout the week. Great spot to head to before you go to the MUA to watch the game, or really any event down on the strip, pregame, postgame there. And it's best steak deal in town. Just $20 on the 1 pound ribeye, $20 on the garlic marinated bistro filet. You get a veggie, your choice of 7 sides. Great overall menu. Check them out. 6020 West Flamingo, Flamingo and Jones, Jackson's Bar and Grill.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Big game in town, WNBA, Aces hosting the Sparks. Kelsey Plum is back on the scene at the MUA Mick Ultra Arena. Willie Ramirez, part of the company, is there right now getting ready for the 7 o'clock tip. We'll have the game here on ESPN Las Vegas with that tip at 7 o'clock. The sport is growing. As we've mentioned, we talked about it during the week, there's a whole set of dudes who are kind of WNBA grifters, so they've latched on to Caitlin Clark. They talk about how much or how hateable the rest of the league is. No one's going to watch it. It's only about Caitlin Clark. This latching on to the WNBA to make money and get internet hits goes far and wide. I was blown away. I thought this might be AI, but listen to Colin Cowherd here starting to make bold predictions about Paige Bueckers and Caitlin Clark.
Paige Bueckers, she'll become the best player in the league for sure. He's not the playmaker of Caitlin Clark, but she's a better pure scorer. So it's very possible in back-to-back years, you're going to get the two most popular WNBA players ever. Happened with Magic and Bird in the NBA. It just different players, big brands. Paige Bueckers will probably never be quite as popular because of her route and because Caitlin Clark also has a unique game where she's shooting from 38 feet. Caitlin Clark's more of a comet. But if you're talking about who's the better player, there's an argument Paige Bueckers will be the better player.
Yeah, I don't agree. But, you know, Colin watches a lot of WNBA, I'm sure.
Here's the thing. Yeah.
Colin's on board. He's on board.
I will tell you this. I agree, but for an entirely different reason, he's wrong. Paige Bueckers is not a better pure scorer in the way that he, in the context he's saying it, as Caitlin Clark. Where Paige Bueckers, in my opinion, is a more complete player, and Caitlin Clark has said this time and time again about herself, is that her biggest flaw is defense. She said it at her introductory press conference last year. She said it again this year during one of, I don't know if it was media day or early on in the training camp, that she needs to improve her defense. And she looked at Stephanie White and she said, especially with her as coach, knowing how physical she expects her players to be, knowing that what the Connecticut Sun did to Caitlin Clark last year. So she has to improve at the defensive end. Paige Bueckers is a complete player because of that. Colin Cowherd is wrong in his context. I agree in terms of the complete player and the potential from what we're seeing now. Now, if Caitlin Clark becomes a defensive player and can get and be at all facets, then there's a challenge. But right now, I tend to agree with him. He's just wrong on his reasoning.
He's also wrong that Paige Bueckers' popularity will be close to Caitlin Clark. You may disagree with that, but I think Clark is always going to be way ahead of her. And it's not just the route. There's something else. We've talked about it. She's immensely popular for so many reasons.
Well, and she took that spotlight, and I've said this time and time again. Remember, Paige Bueckers was the National Player of the Year as a freshman. Okay? If she doesn't tear up her knees 2 years in a row, she's in that same spotlight, in that same conversation. And who knows, Connecticut gets a title before this past year, and she comes out after her junior year, because I think you have to get at least through your junior year. She may come out the exact same year as Caitlin Clark. Not saying Caitlin Clark doesn't do what she did and not saying she doesn't get the notoriety, but she doesn't tear up her knees. We're having a lot of different conversations, and the WNBA's spotlight maybe comes a little bit sooner. So, but I think that with what Caitlin Clark did at Iowa and coming into the league, yes, she's definitely put all eyes, and she's well ahead in the sprint or the race, if you will. But they are, those two have the potential of being the future once the Asias and the Briannas and the Alyssas, right, and the Jonquels and the Sabrinas and the Kelsey Plums, once they retire, we're seeing the future right now.
Well, I got less than 15 seconds. The mental health series you've been working on is up.
It is finally up. Got it up just as I did exactly 1 year after last year. 3-story series, one on talking to rookies and vets, one to front office people, and one local, Megan Gustafson and her dog Pancake. They got a book coming out and how she relies on her pup for mental health. So 3-story series on mental health in the WNBA at WGRamirez.com.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock hour, as we'll get into what's been going on this week at Raiders camp, Adam Hill will be with us. Lots of conversation, lots of introduction to much of the coaching staff, which is new. Tons of new players, and we'll have a follow-up on that on Stansky. It's a very big deal that Ashton Gentry had a change of stance, and Chip Kelly was quick to say this week, like, not all me, stop coming after me. College basketball is right around the corner, and I don't know if I've said this to the audience, it actually is my favorite sport. I like a lot of sports, but my bread was initially buttered covering college basketball. Love it, and we've become the home of college basketball, not only with the run of Rebels and cool tournaments and the postseason tournaments, but we're getting special invitationals here that are really neat. And one of them that's coming to town is the Hall of Fame series, which has some big bangers in this thing. And Jeff Motley, longtime PR guy in the center of the sports world, forever here in Vegas, joins Cofield on a Friday. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, we got a big one here, right? We got the Hall of Fame series, which is going to lead up to some other really cool things going on. So tell people what's going down at T-Mobile in early November.
Yeah, November 3rd, it's going to be the opening night of college basketball season. We got an amazing doubleheader at T-Mobile. We're going to have Villanova against BYU. BYU has got the number one freshman in the country, maybe the preseason player of the year in A.J. DeBancha, and not to mention Zayon Staten, who is a local Las Vegas kid, seven-footer from Sierra Vista. And like I said, taking on Villanova. New coach coming in this year, Kevin Willard, who's moved over from Maryland. And then the second game, or I shouldn't say second game, we don't know which order they're going to be in yet, but Arizona against the defending national champion Florida Gators. So huge to get those four teams coming to Las Vegas, and we put our tickets on sale today, and already we're seeing great response. People are excited about this doubleheader.
Nice choice of schools in terms of traveling as well. We know there's a good fan base in town with BYU.
No question. BYU's got a huge fan base. We know, look, any of us that used to, we go to the Pac-12 tournament when Arizona was still in the Pac-12, and it was like McHale Center North. I mean, a lot of Arizona fans as well. Florida's coming off winning the national championship, and I guess it'll depend on how well their football team's doing, but right now, they're kind of basketball crazy at Florida. They got great news this week with Alex Condon coming back. They got Boogie Flan transferring in from Arkansas, Xavier Lee from Princeton. I mean, they should be a top five team going into the season again next year. Heck, out of these four teams, I think three of them will be ranked in the top 15 to open the season.
Yeah, and Carlin Hardman on the staff, working with Todd Golden. Carlin, of course, had a stay here at UNLV. So Florida, Arizona, BYU, and Villanova goes down November 3rd. That's a Monday, T-Mobile Arena, HallOfFameSeries.com. Check that, HOFSeries.com. Jeff, what's the bigger picture in terms of college basketball and involvement with the Hall of Fame here, and what's on the way down the road with a Final Four in really just a couple of years away? It's it always comes along a lot quicker than you think.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, we have this Hall of Fame series here in 25 coming up November 3rd. I'm sure we will have one in 2026. We don't know who the teams are. And we've already announced that in November of 27, the Hall of Fame series Las Vegas will be the first basketball games ever played at Allegiant Stadium. It's going to be a precursor for that'll be in April of 28. We've got Duke, Arizona, Indiana, and Kansas coming in for that doubleheader in 2027 to start at Allegiant Stadium. So a lot of great college basketball. I'm sure there's plenty of other tournaments that will also be going on in Las Vegas this year and in the coming years. But great to kick off the season like this with just a huge, huge group of marquee teams.
Get the tickets November 3rd. The tickets are on sale now. Big day with Florida, Arizona, and BYU against Villanova, HOFseries.com. What are the logistical challenges of playing basketball? And this is kind of the case with all the Final Fours now. For you guys, that'll be a test run. What are the challenges of setting up in a football stadium?
Well, believe it or not, they've already come in and taken a look at just how all the logistics are going to work. There's a company who does this in all of the football stadiums who sets up the Final Fours. So they work with operations team at Position Sports. They'll work with the operations team over at the stadium. And the great thing is they've been playing these Final Fours in these football stadiums for so many years now. I mean, probably at least 15 or 20 years they've been playing in these stadiums. While it will be unique to Allegiant Stadium, it's not unique to football stadium. So I'm sure they'll have a good plan. And I think anybody probably that saw the way that they set up the ring for WWE, if they happen to go to that event, you know, they'll see how they were able to put, you know, something relatively small right in the center of the stadium and then put seating around it. We won't have the exact same configuration, but it'll kind of give you an idea of what it would look like.
Jeff Motley is with us. We'll close on a couple of questions on this front. And Jeff and I go back a long ways, even before the Speedway, because I was a producer back at Old Sports Fan Radio Network, and Jeff was writing and covering Virginia Tech. So you go back a long ways in terms of covering and enjoying college sports. You got to give me your take on what's going on right now with what could be maybe the shrinking down multiple divisions at the college football level. I mean, you covered VTech. I don't know that VTech would be one of the haves. These are crazy times right now. I don't know what it's going to look like 5 years from now.
Well, you're right. It is crazy times, and I don't know what it's going to take to be a have or a have not. I mean, I know people want to talk about the SEC and the Big Ten, but let's face it. I mean, there are some teams at the bottom of the SEC and the bottom of the Big Ten that really don't compete with some of the top teams in the Big 12 or in the ACC. And, you know, in the basketball world, that one, it's totally different because you've got conferences like the Big East and conference like, well, the WCC, which I know they're losing Gonzaga. But you've got a lot of other different schools in basketball. So it is kind of a wild west out there right now. It's a little bit crazy, but look, everybody just ends up following the money, right? Whatever the TV networks are willing to pay for and what the TV networks want is probably the direction things are going to head in. And I don't believe the TV networks are really going to look at it and say college football, for example, is better off with just two conferences, you know, running everything. I just don't think that that's you know, intuitive to what the TV networks are going to want.
Good. I hope that's the case. Jeff, one more time, mention what's going on November 3rd, and tickets are available.
Yep, doubleheader, T-Mobile Arena, Florida, heading up against Arizona, Villanova against BYU. Tickets available at HOFseries.com.
Jeff, you're the man. We appreciate it. By the way, good luck with the new position, literally position sports. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
There it is. Jeff Motley was at the Speedway for a long time. Las Vegas Motor Speedway is now working with Position Sports, and they're setting up this tournament. HOFseries.com. Again, it's Arizona, Florida, and Villanova taking on BYU. Big budget BYU, Mr. Utah. Big budget BYU will be in town with maybe the highest payroll of any basketball team in the country. You must love it, Griffin. You must love it.
Makes me just reminisce back to my Mormon days, you know. It makes me really think, should I go back to church?
Should you have tried to play football at BYU and not Utah? Maybe your luck would have been better. Okay, I'm going to completely reverse course here or go in a different direction. The weather's getting nice. If you want to hang out at Treasure Island, it's a great place for a staycation. Their pool is awesome. I've seen some beautiful people coming out from the pool, so you want to hang out with the beautiful people. There they are. I am mostly an at-home pool dweller. I will go on the road here and there. I will go to some local casinos and hang out at the pool. And while I don't look good, I want to look decent, maybe the only redeeming feature I have are like decent legs. They haven't fallen apart in my old age. But I was very intrigued by this the other day, because yesterday we talked to Xavier Pope, where there was a thread on Threads, women telling guys what not to wear. And I get very confused, because when women start chiming in, basically they just all circle around on each other, and then nothing is acceptable for guys to wear. Here's a dude a couple of weeks ago. I don't know why he thought this was a take he needed to get out there, but he wanted to talk about bathing suits and that maybe a certain bathing suit style is out.
The amount of people wearing 9-inch bathing suit shorts is absurd. It's 2025. You gotta rock the 5-inch bathing suit short. Maybe 6, maybe 7, but there's so many brands. Chubbies, Abercrombie, American Eagle. So many people make really good looking bathing suit shorts. The amount of leg you need to show needs to be a lot. Let them legs breathe.
Wait a second. First of all, the Vast Sound Crew, we got some free pops in there for some brands. So when we put that up on the podcast, you got to beep that out. No freebies on ESPN Las Vegas. See, I'm confused by that. So he wants the shorter shorts. He's anti-board shorts. Yesterday, we were talking about that Threads thread. And on that, there were multiple women saying, you know what, guys? Cut the crap with the short shorts. No one, and the comment was, no one wants to see those hairy thighs. Griffin, you're young. You're out there on the hunt. You have a girlfriend, whatever. What are we supposed to be doing here? Do we go board shorts, or can I bring out, because I save everything, do I bring out the shorts from 1989 where, you know, you're kind of almost in a position where you're, you know, you're showing off the smuggle there. Not little, by the way. What do we do?
It's a new day and age. You can't be wearing shorts that cover your kneecaps. We got it. It's the only style appropriate for all ages. I would make the argument, all right? You can't, the long short look, it was cool in the 90s. It was cool seeing like bands like Bleak 182 wear them when they're on stage playing. But it's not cool anymore to see guys rocking those baggy Adam Sandler shorts at the pool. It's just not cool. We got to get shorter with it.
By the way, I'm glad you randomly threw in Sandler. Sandler plays a lot of hoops, and he is a baggy outfit guy. I respect his desire to play hoops. Maybe he just wasn't ready to play. I saw him in a video at a park where he had on, like, today is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, so it was wearing some sort of Hawaiian or patterned shirt. He had, like, one of those shirts on and then some sweat shorts on playing basketball. Like, I don't know about that one. So, okay, I'll just tell you this. Since I am a thrifty shopper and the audience cares about what bathing suits we're wearing, maybe we'll send out some pictures from the weekend, Griffin. You want to do that? We'll get the whole staff to go to a pool, not together, and take some shots of their bathing suits. I'm very thrifty, so no matter how fat I am, I will buy stuff for the future with the hope that I lose weight. It's a really weird thing psychologically. So I haven't measured the shorts. 5-inch shorts sounds like Larry Bird NBA-esque from 82.
Ooh,
that sounds a little tight.
I don't know. That was a pretty stylish era of basketball. Old Larry Bird and those pasty white thighs. I think it's a good look. I mean, yes, it would be ideal for everyone to be, you know, have the quads of Adrian Peterson, calves of some great athlete with calves. It would be great if everyone had the legs for short shorts, but it's kind of like you got to just force yourself in there. You got to wear them. And then maybe the shame.
You got to force yourself. Well, that's the problem is we have a lot of people on the show who have to force their way into bathing suits.
Yes, I understand.
This is a big crew. By the way, we mentioned the whole sprinter crew that we've got. They're older now, but between Stanford Rout and Ryan Hogue and Mark McMillan, all three of them ran back in the day, like a sub 10.5 300. Like, those guys can get it. I don't know about McMillan, but I don't want to take shots at him. But I think we got to be careful here. I'll give you one thing. Because America's program director, right, JTTB, JT the Bricks, always has advice for us for what we do on our show. JT does the highly rated, highly successful backyard Brick. Can we get Brick in the shorter shorts? Will he want to be part of this?
I will see to it that he will at least consider it. Because I mean,
text him right now. We've got a bathing suit challenge. No board shorts. We're going short. We're going to be stylish. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll talk about 45 minutes of bathing suits with Adam Hill.